This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture with me, Lim Su Wan. Volunteers have been the backbone of many initiatives throughout the COVID-19 pandemic and more recently throughout the floods affecting significant parts of the country. Now we've seen people from all walks of life coming together to volunteer at places like the COVID-19 assessment centres, vaccination centres, through NGOs, and even recently at flood relief centres and religious institutions such as mosques and gurdwaras to help others in need and to lend a helping hand. But what should and shouldn't you do when you commit to volunteering? And when we depend so much on volunteers, what are the gaps it exposes within our social welfare system? So here to share her thoughts on this is Joycelyn Lee, the co-founder of the Pit Stop Community Cafe. Thanks for joining me today, Joycelyn.
Thank you for having me, Suan.
So first, you know, I think before we start talking about the bigger picture of volunteering, I want to find out more about your own experience at the Pit Stop. You know, you've been running it since 2016. What has your experience been like with volunteers, you know, and why do people come to volunteer at the Pit Stop?
Okay, so volunteering is becoming fairly big now, mm-hmm. especially with students, especially college students, university students. They are required to have service hours. So a large chunk of many groups, social enterprises, NGOs, even individual groups put together, a large chunk now comprise college students. Yeah. Why people choose to volunteer, aside from the service hours, some of them are retirees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a large chunk of our volunteers are retirees or semi-retirees, and they have time on their hands. So that is an invaluable resource, and we actually encourage people who have retired to come and volunteer because it keeps them active, it keeps their minds active, and many of our most valuable volunteers are actually retirees. So that's one fairly large group. Of course, over the last 2 years, we've seen a number of them drop off the radar for the simple reason because of their age. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
With senior citizenship comes a variety of, shall we say, medical challenges. So they become part of the high-risk group. So many of us have actually lost some very, very good, very strong volunteers over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
There is another group, what I call corporate refugees, people like me to a certain extent who are consultants. And then what they do is that means they work only certain hours, right? And then they volunteer at these off hours. So, I think these people are, I would say, you probably in their early 40s onwards, right? People who have a little bit of cushion to be able to pursue other areas of their life. You know, that's when they start looking for work-life balance, and volunteering is part of it. So that's another, actually that is an increasing group of people. People who choose to work for themselves, not necessarily just the corporate refugees, but people who run their own businesses and so on and so forth. And then we have the homemakers who are now experiencing an empty nest. And then that is when we see them going, okay, who do I take care of? Who do I nurture? They are also very, very strong volunteers.
Hmm.
So these are some of the major groups, aside from the college students and the university students. And we will go into that, you know, at some point. But yeah, these are some of the key groups of volunteers that are actually pretty much, you know, the engine, the nuts and bolts of the entire volunteering community.
Mm. So that really just sounds like a mixed bag of people, right? You know, you see Malaysians from all walks of life volunteering. What exactly does a day look like for someone who volunteers at the Pit Stop, for example?
Well, at the Pit Stop, initially it was one long day. Then, you know, because we had an increasing number slightly more elderly people, we broke it up, and it's actually very simple 4 to 5 hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier shifts is meal prep, which basically means you work with raw vegetables. We're talking about, you know, well, onions, potatoes, carrots and everything else don't peel themselves, right? And we're looking at about 100 plus, 150, 160 meals, you know, on a daily basis. And that is significant. So, like, for instance, to give you an example, right, looking at the current situation, the Gurdwara in Petaling Jaya, mm-hmm. they are preparing thousands of meals and they are vegetarian, right? So that means, right, imagine the amount of potatoes and onions and carrots that you have to peel. And imagine the manpower you need just to prep normal vegetables, your basic vegetables, right? But what we do is we break it up into shifts. Early on in the day is raw food prep. And then the second part of the day is cleanup. And then packing, meal packing, because after the food is cooked, you have to pack the food.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually takes a little bit of manpower. Thankfully for us, we have fairly regular volunteers, so everything goes very, very smoothly. And what we do is, in both shifts, we will mix new volunteers as well as regular volunteers, and we have team leads for these groups. So what happens is they become a self-governing in a way, right? So for the pit stop, we have team leads for the different days. So we operate Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And every day there is a different team lead. It's also to not stress them out. Mm. And these team leads are given the responsibility of, you know, confirming their volunteers, making sure, training their volunteers. So getting volunteers is not just about getting volunteers. Volunteers can be developed. Sometimes, you know, someone comes in and they say, okay, I just want to do this. And you're okay with that. But you see, the thing is, right, when you are managing a volunteer army or a volunteer crew, right, there will be people who will be good at different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically talent management. It is talent management. It is human resource. And what we do is we try and professionalize it as much as possible. There's on-the-job training, obviously, you know, then, you know, some of them, they go for courses. We ask them what the experience are. Yeah, so we try and develop our volunteers, the regular ones, as we go along. And for us, this is why we look at young people. And when they come and volunteer and they become more regular, we actually say, okay, what are you interested in? Right. And some of our volunteers have become interns and they have gotten scholarships and from us, they've gotten letters of recommendation, which has in turn brought them scholarships. Because as you know, a lot of universities overseas nowadays, they don't just look at your academics. They look at what you've been doing, you know, off academia. So they look at things like leadership qualities. So when we provide them with a framework with which they can be responsible for, it allows them to learn. It showcases their qualities. And this is what young people need, right? Mentoring to a certain extent, but also a chance or an opportunity to showcase that they can do something.
Mm.
And volunteering is one avenue for this.
Mm. And there's so much life skills that you can learn as well, right? Learning is not just in the classroom, but it's from your interactions with other people and what you do in life.
Yeah. We pre-COVID, we had a program with an international school. And these students, what happens is every year they appoint or they elect among themselves a team lead. And that team lead liaises with me and Andrea,
mm-hmm.
right? And they are in charge of making sure that on a certain day, a certain number of volunteers shows up. So, you know, it gives them that responsibility. It gives them the opportunity to showcase that they have leadership skills. We did that, I think, three or four years running prior to, you know, the COVID challenges, because after that, everybody had to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Our first couple of interns, first, they started volunteering, and then after that, when they needed an internship, we gave them internship. We wrote them letters of recommendation. They were scholarship students, and post St. Joseph, they received scholarships, one, I think, to Beijing and the other one to a local university. And then after that, the next one, he actually received we wrote him a letter of recommendation, the team media. Mm-hmm. And I believe he is in the University of Toronto, if I'm not mistaken, full scholarship. So, you know, we're very proud of these young people. And then, of course, we have, you know, several other young people. Some of them come in 14, 15, stay for a few years. They get developed. We had one young man who came in when he was a bit of a pipsqueak at 14, you know, very shy fella. And then we started throwing him work, right? And it came to a point where he basically decided that, you know what, I'm going to run for student council president because I can do this job better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And during the beginning of COVID, when he was back from university in Canada, during the MCO, he pretty much ran one major project, which entailed, let's see, the coordination of what? About 1,000 care packs going out to, two major PPRs working with the Gambut constituency. So you see the thing, and this is an 18-year-old, right, running a major project that, you know, some adults would, like, just burst out crying at, kind of thing. So there is opportunity for development, but the heart must be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Definitely. And I think that's something I want to get to a bit later as well. But, you know, it's so heartwarming to see people come together to really freely give up their time and labor to do this, right? Which is, it's essentially like another job. And we've seen this sort of rise seemingly quite exponentially during the pandemic. You know, yes, there were restrictions, but people came together in the spirit of kita jaga kita to help each other out where it was needed, right? And I, especially most recently, we saw with the floods, you know, people helping out at flood relief centers, people going out to flood-stricken housing areas, most famously, like you mentioned earlier, the Gurdwara at PJ. But also, you know, looking at the past few months, there were calls for volunteers to the CACs, the COVID assessment centers. There were calls for volunteers to help with vaccinations. I mean, how important are the roles of volunteers in the Malaysian grassroots community? You know, what have you seen? What role do they fill, especially from what we've seen in the past couple of years?
They are so important. They are so important. During COVID, before the vaccines became available, we actually had volunteers who caught COVID and died.
Oh, gosh.
But you see, the thing is, they volunteered their time. They volunteered, you know, themselves because they felt it was necessary. So it is very, very important. It shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
The deaths shouldn't have happened. But, well, sometimes it is what it is. At that time, the vaccines were not available, but people still needed food. I mean, people were starving, right? You do what you have to do.
Mm.
And there are some people who are actually willing, literally willing, to you know, dice with death. So for the betterment of the community, of their fellow men, these are the amazing heroes that who are not, they're not celebrated. They're not even thought of sometimes. But without them, right, we wouldn't have done what we did or what we could have, you know, what we did, many of us, the groups that we were involved in. As you know, the Pit Stop works with a number of groups on ground.
Mm-hmm.
So we met some amazing people. Yeah.
It says a lot about who we are as Malaysians, isn't it? People are ready to come out and help when needed.
Yes, it says a lot. I think volunteerism overall, it's a mixed bag. Yeah, it's a mixed bag. Because we talk about the amazing people who are volunteers, there are many, okay? But then again, of course, you have some bad apples, right? And I would point out again the flood as a key example.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, we had some inquiries about volunteering where the flood is concerned. And because we work with several groups, we are in a good place to place these people because we have an overview of where everything is needed.
Mm, and now, what is needed when?
And what is needed and who is needed, right? And then you have people who their intentions may be good, right? But here's the thing. If a school needs to be cleaned out or a surau needs to be cleaned out or if homes need to be cleaned out, it doesn't matter where it is or it shouldn't matter where it is. But, you know, some of them are very specific. Oh, I want to go to Hulu Langat. Oh, you know, do you have like, you know, do you have this location or that location? And for me, it was this. Do you want to volunteer? Do you want to help? Or are you a blooming tourist?
Mm.
Right? You go there, you ooh, ah, and you take your TikToks and you take your Facebook or Instagram videos and you say, oh, I'm here helping. But you're not. So there is the bad side of it, you know, in the sense of, and this is where social media comes in. I will say, unfortunately, yes,
mm-hmm.
social media is part of it. People want some people, not everybody. You have an amazing number of unsung heroes who really don't care about, you know, whether they're captured on social media or not. But yes, there are people who, you know, social media is everything. You must be seen to be on social media helping otherwise.
If it's not on social media, it didn't happen, right? That sort of mentality.
Yes, it doesn't exist if you're not captured on social media. And unfortunately, this does impact things as well.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, volunteering should be about helping the people, right? It should be the people that you want to, that you're lending a helping hand to or you're supporting, right? It's not about, like you say, you know, where what you want to do or where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Let me rephrase that. You may be good at something, mm-hmm. right? So you can volunteer your services. And that is great, right? So it's about what you, not just what you want to do, but also what you can do. In this case, present it to the coordinator or to the person and say, I can do this, 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 this. Do you have a space for me? Chances are the coordinator may say, yes, we have this particular space for you, or no, but you can go here, here, and here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we do, because over the last several weeks, especially, we've been like traffic signboards, you know, go here, go here, go here, go here, go here. Because, you know, different people have different skill sets. And we try and, as much as possible, work towards matching skill sets. But honestly, it doesn't take very much to clean a house. Mm-hmm. You just need a lot of elbow grease and energy and stamina. The sad bit is I want to go here, I want to do this, I want to go there. But I'm like, okay, you don't need to go out of KL because there are places within Klang Valley that are affected. Why do you have to go all the way to Pahang mm-hmm. when I'm telling you, you can volunteer to clean a house, you know, at this location, right? Or to clean a place at this location. Oh, you know, we have friends. So the thing is, right, and that is why, to a certain extent, I understand why some authorities say you can't go in here without, you know, passes or this, that. The few bad apples, right, they unfortunately, these are the ones that, you know, stick in people's heads. And these are the ones, unfortunately, that, you know, overshadow the amazing work. Like, for instance, the guy who went viral, Abang Viva, mm-hmm. the guy who just plonked his boat on a borrowed car and just went to help people. I mean, think of that amazing spirit, right? And you have so many Malaysians like that. The groups that we work with sometimes, we stand in awe of what they do and what they can do. But then you have a few bad apples that, you know, think of it as a form of volunteerism.
Mm.
And that's when everything goes kind of south. Mm. But overall, Malaysians, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to giving of themselves.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking today to Joycelyn Lee, the co-founder of the Pit Stop Community Cafe, about what volunteering should be about and what we can learn from the efforts that people have put in to help those in need, especially during the recent floods, but also throughout the COVID-19 pandemic and before that as well. We'll be right back to continue our discussion. Keep it here on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture. I'm Lim Suen, and joining me via Zoom today is Joycelyn Lee, the co-founder of the Pit Stop Community Cafe, and we are discussing the topic of volunteering and why it shouldn't fall into the trap of voluntourism. Now, Joycelyn, I want to bring up another issue that volunteering highlights. So while we want to highlight the work of volunteers, to me, when we see such a significant dependence on volunteers, such as throughout the pandemic and the recent floods, what does it tell us about potential deeper structural or even systemic issues when it comes to ensuring people's welfare? Because here we're depending on the goodwill of people, right? People who are freely giving up their time, their labor to help out.
You know, Suen, I would tell you, you know, here be dragons. It's a minefield, yeah. Mm-hmm. Any which way you look at it, it's a minefield. And I would actually say this. During the last 2 years of COVID, many more people would have died if not for volunteers. Many more people would have gone hungry if mm-hmm. not for volunteers and contributors, Malaysians coming together. Hannah Alkaf was very good in coming up with hashtag Kita Jaga Kita. But here's the thing. What is more true is not Kita Jaga Kita. What is truest in its form, in its, you know, most amazing form, is Rakyat Jaga Rakyat, or Rakyat Bantu Rakyat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this amazing coming together. You know what the sad thing is? We need disasters for Malaysians to come together regardless of race, religion, you know, colour, backgrounds. I mean, when we shouldn't be divisive, because at the end of the day, it is about being Malaysian. Mm-hmm. It is about being a community. Yeah. The bottom line is, if you want your community to thrive, you have to be a part of it. And this is coming from me, believe it or not, actually an antisocial introvert. People don't believe me, but I am.
Because of the line of your work.
Because of the line of my work. But you see, here's the thing. I don't have to like people to help people. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, different people are good at what they do. And I'm actually fairly decent at mobilizing supplies, people, etc. Right? I don't have to like them, but mm-hmm. I can do the job. Right? Andrea is very good with connecting people. Connecting with people. And she's very good at the back end of things, mm-hmm. the supply chains, for instance. Different people in our teams are very good at different things, you know. So we have a volunteer in logistics, for instance, who takes care of certain types of logistics. Michael, our operations manager, he's, you know, a whiz at inventory. You know, if we have like things coming, raining on us, he's like, okay, you know, we're running out of space, but we'll make space. Mm-hmm. We'll find a way. So different people, again, have different skills. The unfortunate thing is we have to discover, the different groups have to discover how to work with the volunteers. There is no structure in that sense. Could we do this better if it's more integrated, if it's a bit more structured? Yes, we can. Is it structured? No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Have there been teams? Yes, they have. The mm-hmm. point is this. We could do things better. We could be more organized, but we're not. However, I would say, again, Rakyat Bantu Rakyat, which also means there are people who are rising within this particular social issues, a social work community that can do this or mm-hmm. who can do this. But here's the sad thing, right? People expect people to work for free. And after a while, right, yes, you can volunteer. But if you actually have really good skills at this, right, you should be paid for it. Mm-hmm. It should become a job. right? It becomes work. Why? Because you're good at this, mm-hmm. right? So, but do we have that kind of structure or do we have that kind of mindset? No. At the pit stop, I mean, we have our cook and we have our operations manager, and we actually pay a halfway decent salary. Mm-hmm. Now, but then again, people out there, when they look at, you know, how certain groups are structured and all that, and they're like, you should do this for free. Why should we? If we are going to invest all our time in this, right? Why? We don't live on fresh air and sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Volunteer work is still work.
It's still work, right? So, and also, I mean, at the end of the day, you don't have to pay like a huge corporate salary or whatever, but it is also about value.
Mm-hmm.
When someone brings value into a group, into a company, into an organization, right? How do you recognize them? You don't stick a gold star on their forehead and say, yay, you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do you value them? Hey, you know, for us, it's something as simple as at one point in time during the massive lockdowns, some of our volunteers were coming in every day. We actually fundraised to make sure that they had a stipend to cover their Grab cars, to cover their petrol, to cover their parking, because parking in KL is not cheap. Yeah, so. There still needs to be a mindset change, yeah, right? So when people donate or contribute funds, right, some of it must go to operations. Coming back to your question in a very roundabout way, why do we need volunteers? We need volunteers because sometimes you just need sheer manpower, right? And you need people who want to be there,
mm-hmm.
And who want to do something. Mm. And for us, we encountered a number of people over the last several years. And, you know, one person actually said, I'm just one person. How can I make a change? Right. And there is this amazing quote in Cloud Atlas, the book, not the movie, yeah? You're one drop in the ocean, but when the many drops come together, you form that ocean. And mm-hmm. and that's that change, right? And of course, we've seen that constantly, consistently, right? When people put in the effort, change happens, even if it's just with one other person. But when they touch one other person, you know, there is a reverberation and, you know, the knock-on effects, mm-hmm. right? The ripple, it just,
mm-hmm.
And that is what we need.
It goes to show that, you know, if one person wants change in that community, you know, even if you think that volunteering yourself is just one person, like you say, that one person can start a chain reaction of change. And also at the end of the day, we shouldn't take volunteers for granted as well, right? Yes, they're there on their own free time, on, you know, doing it for free, but we shouldn't expect that, you know, in times of need, volunteers will simply magically appear, because they are doing hard work at the end of the day.
Yes. I think it's a two-way street. I mean, when we're talking about volunteers, right, it's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. I mean, on one hand, groups obviously need volunteers. And on the other hand, you know, if you want to volunteer, I would say you need to find a something that clicks within you, right? Not everybody will find family at the pit stop, or mm-hmm. they will find it in one of our other partner or beneficiary organizations or groups that we work with. And we've had volunteers who've come in and said, I want to work with children. So we point them to different groups that work with children. There are so many opportunities actually for you to find yourself.
Mm. And earlier, Jocelyn, you mentioned that, you know, you have uni students and college students coming in as well. I assume those tend to be a bit more temporary. I guess, is that a challenge to work with?
Okay, let me give you an idea, okay? On one hand, I think it's a very good idea for universities and colleges to have service hours.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely brilliant idea. The execution of it somehow sometimes leaves much to be desired.
It shouldn't just be a box to be ticked, right?
And many of them just want to tick that box. But also, here's the thing. If you are the lecturer, and then you have a class of, say, 50 students, all right, and it's a follow the sheep kind of thing, you have, you know, the representative writing into an organization saying, we want to volunteer for 3 hours on this day, and there are 50 of us, and we don't need 50 people at a certain time, because volunteering is not about you.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteering means you work with that organization, and you fit that organization's framework. So, for instance, we're off on Tuesdays. And if a student says, I have 20 people and we can only volunteer on a Tuesday for 4 hours, I'm not going to open shop just so that you can tick your box, right? And this actually, believe it or not, this happens a lot. A lot, you know, because they want to come with friends. And we've had some very bad experiences where, you know, college students come in and, you know, they do as little work as possible, right? And they sneak into a corner and play with their phones because they expect us to sign off anyway. And I'm one of those people, if you don't put in the work that you're supposed to put in, I don't sign off.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them, they apply as a regular volunteer. And then at the end of the shift, they say, oh, by the way, I need you to sign off on this. I don't sign off. Some people may think that I'm cruel in doing this because, you know, she put in her work what, or he put in his work what. No. You are upfront because, you know, you have to meet expectations. You have expectations. You cannot come in, you cannot ninja in and say, I need you to sign off on this when you never told me that this was for a work or service hours or whatever. Be mm-hmm. upfront.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why some students are not upfront, honestly. And then, of course, some of them bring their parents along, believe it or not. And then, you know, the helicopter parents insist that you move off. You either become completely and totally speechless or, you know, there's a lot of bleeps at the end of things. And this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the flip side, you have amazing young people who come in and say, you know what, this is what I want to do. Like, for the rest of my life, what do I have to study to do this better?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got someone we've had people who switched majors, for instance, right?
Mm.
From like, I don't know, I can't remember what, into say, into public policy, into economics, into education. Why? Because they see the need for it. So you have, again, two sides, you know, of a coin. You have the me guys, and then you have the, oh my God, I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do this? And those are the ones that we guide and that we mentor, and, you know, with amazing young people like that, who we hope will stay in the country. And that's another minefield. You know, maybe it will become a better country.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, before we end, Joycelyn, we've been talking a lot about volunteering, what it means, what it should be about. For people who are genuinely considering to volunteer their time, to volunteer their energy with an organization, right? What would you tell them to think about, to consider before they commit to it? Because like you've said, right, it's not something that you should just parachute in and do.
Okay, I would say this, right? First off, you may or you may not find an organization that is suitable to you for whatever reason, or because every group has its own work culture, let's mm-hmm. put it that way, right? And it's also about gelling with people because, you know, human beings are social people. So I would say one is first take a look at your interests, right? Is it animals? Then go volunteer at, you know, a couple of different pet shelters first. Is it older people? Go volunteer at maybe a couple of old folks' homes. Is it children? Or is it just a matter of, I don't know what I want, so we try everything first. And there are resources. All you need to do is Google, basically, right? That's one. So try and see where you want to go first. Now, when you decide on something, when you inform that organization, hey, you know, can I help? That organization will have specific work times, work days, et cetera, et cetera. The next thing is to work within their framework. That is important because it's not about you. When you're volunteering, you are trying to be part of a bigger cause, of a bigger picture. And here's the thing about being a volunteer. It is not about you.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's what a lot of college students and what a lot of the Insta generation forget because they think it's about them. And the first time you go there, be punctual, be even a little bit early, right? So if, say, you know, you're supposed to be there by, say, 10 o'clock or whatever it is, be there by about 9:45 or something like that, because chances are you will have to sign in, especially now, you will have to sign in, scan in, read the volunteer code of conduct. We actually have a code of conduct that you have to read and sign off, right? Mm-hmm. And this is basically about behavior and all that sort of stuff. That is important, right? The final thing I would say is this. Whichever group that you're working with, whatever target audience they have, please don't objectify them. Objectification of poverty is not cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, those random groups that we see, you know, giving out food to the homeless and you know, videoing everything and putting it up on social media. People's faces are shown. When someone is in a position of need, be sensitive. And you see that a lot in the flood situation, when people go in and, you know, you're videoing the contents of someone's home that has been wrecked. My question number one would be, did you even ask permission to record or not?
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two is, did you ask permission to show that person's face or not? Right? We talk about the PDPA, we talk about privacy and all that. Now, let's flip the coin. What if it was your home? What if someone came to your home and just, you know, flipped open their phone and started recording and talking to an unknown audience and, you know, shoves the phone, like, you know, into your bedroom. Oh, see how this has been wrecked. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the water went here. And this is your home.
Mm-hmm.
These are your things. So sensitivity, highly encouraged. No objectification. Please think about that. That is very, very important. Some people will disagree with me because they are going to go and say, I helping what? I volunteer what? Do it with heart. Do it with sensitivity. Do it with politeness. It's very simple. It's just two words, care and consideration. And how would you like to be treated the way you are now treating other people? And if you start thinking about these questions, right, then your heart starts to be in the right place. I would also say one more thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you volunteer, be a little bit selfish. Now, when I say be a little bit selfish also, it is also about you. Don't go and volunteer to help wash down a house if you know you have, say, breathing issues, or if you don't have the stamina. You know, because your health is going to be impacted. If you're strong as an ox, then that's great. But be a little bit selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of yourself as well. Many of us in this industry, if you want to call it, right? Many of us don't take this advice. I don't take this advice. I will tell people to do this. but we will push ourselves. But here's the thing. For those of us who have been doing this for years and years and years and years, there are many reasons why we are driven to do what we do. But when someone is new, don't burn yourself out. So start by being a little bit selfish. Start by thinking about, can I do this first or not? If you want to try, go ahead. But know, understand that if you hit a certain limit,
mm-hmm.
take a deep breath first. And if you want to continue, there will be people there who can help you push that limit. Be a little bit selfish from the beginning, at the beginning.
And on that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Joycelyn.
Thank you very much, Suan. I hope I have answered all your questions one way or another.
I've been speaking to Joycelyn Lee, the co-founder of the Pit Stop Community Cafe, on the do's and don'ts of volunteering and why it should always be about the people that you're helping or supporting and not what you want to do. But, and you know, at the same time throughout that process, keep in mind about your own health as well, your own mental and physical health, and not push yourself to the point where you're not helping out. If you missed any part of today's show or any previous Live and Learn episodes, you can look up our podcasts on bfm.my or on the BFM app. I'm Lim Suen, and this has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.